Tell me a little bit more about the audience that you were, audiences that you performed for. Were they primarily, not necessarily a Jewish audience then? You would perform
No, it's vaudeville houses. We did
all over the country.
We did 21 shows a week, 3 shows a day. We did a matinee before 6 o'clock, and from 6 o'clock till 10 or 11, we did 2 shows, 3 shows a day. Later on, when I started making more money, we were doing 2 shows a day. That's what they call United Booking Office, big time. Mm-hmm. See, I remember working with the Mills Brothers for 13 weeks. And one time in Seattle, Washington, 40 inches of snow. And I was able to get to the theater with the 4 acts that we had because the hotel we were staying was right next door to the theater. And through the back entrance, they swept, and we were able to go into the theater. One person in the audience. No band showed up. And I asked this man who was sitting there, and I said, how come that 40 inches of snow, you must have loved vaudeville so much that you were able to come to the theater? And I was surprised by his answer. He says, I didn't come here. He says, I'm the janitor of this building. I sleep in the building. These are little things.
A pianist with you, or you were by yourself?
No, there was always a band. We'd have Mondays and Thursdays. When we did 21 shows a week, they were all split weeks. 4 days and 3 days. And every Monday and Thursday, we change. Go into a different theater. And there's a band of 5 or 6 musicians. And you give them, you have a rehearsal with them, with the music that you have. And you repeat the same performance for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Maybe change one song, see. When you get to Chicago or New York, you go to Tin Pan Alley and pick up new songs. And if they fitted, you'd rehearse them until you know it. Mm-hmm. And this was the whole business.
Then when did you get started with the jokes and the telling stories? Was that, had when you done that before, like when you were small growing up?
No, no, no. You see, I found out that I was a lonesome kid in vaudeville. And after midnight, I had nothing to do, so I used to go to the nightclubs to watch these acts. Well, I was called upon that we have with us Arnold Kay working at the Bijou Theater. Let's get him out for a song. And there'd be popular songs that all the pianists in these nightclubs were able to sing. And I started doubling it up, playing in vaudeville and in big cities. And every theater was in the big city, starting to work nightclubs, mm-hmm. pick up an extra $50.
When was that? What time?
In the 30s. See. And I learned how to tell stories. See. Not from watching, from reading and listening. Everybody has a story. I can go to any bar and a half a dozen people would come tell me stories. I would pick some of those stories out and change the words around a little bit and make a story out of it. So, would you like to hear one story?
Sure.
Okay. I received a letter from a mail order house. It's a big envelope. On top of the envelope, on the opposite corner of the stamp, it says, if you are 50, 60, or 70 years of age, and underneath the stamp it says, and haven't had enjoyable sex for 5, 10, or 15 years, open this letter. I open the letter. I'm interested. It's a big legal stationery. Very expensive looking. And it repeats itself. if you are 50, 60, 70, or 80 years of age and haven't had enjoyable sex for 5, 10, or 15 years. Our pills, $75 a 100, guarantee you can have all the sex you want, as often as you want, with anyone you want. And if not, you're not satisfied, your money will be refunded. I swear, that's every word is true to that letter. Now, Lil and I, we go to Dr. Nitzberg every 3 months. We both have a little high blood pressure. And I show Dr. Nitzberg the letter. And he reads it. He says, Harry, all men over 50 years of age who have good credit ratings receive the same letter that you got. And he says, 20 to 30% of the men who get these letters buy these pills. I says, Doc, tell me, how good are these pills? I'm interested. Here's exactly what he says. He says, but I have a pill. The only trouble with my pill is if you don't swallow it fast enough, you get a stiff neck. These are the kind of stories I used to put together. And they're not dirty, but you have to be careful where you use them. Now, I found out, we do the churches, 4 churches. I found out that you can't do certain things in certain churches. You have to do. So I started collecting stories to tell churches. Would you like to hear one?
Yes, please.
I was listening this morning to my radio. I have a radio that brings in the entire world, and I caught Rome, and I heard an announcement. The Pope is sick, and at 12 noon Rome time, the Cardinal will come out in the square and tell the people what's wrong with the Pope. I kept listening to that station. A few hours later, I heard the Cardinal come out, and he blessed my children. He says, there's 20,000 people standing before me, and the Pope is sick. He needs a kidney transplant. And the Pope told me he was sure that each and every one of you standing before me would be willing to donate a kidney to the Pope. But the Pope wants no volunteers. But the Pope gave me a little feather. He wants me to throw the feather out in the crowd, and wherever it lands, that person will have the honor of donating a kidney to the Pope. And he throws it out, and 20,000 people go,
Yes. 1958. And is that when you started doing more of the entertainment circuit?
I was working a nightclub, that same little nightclub that we built up. I was working it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
What nightclub is this?
At a little bar where I had the pianist, who was the ice cream parlor, and the two lawyers that played the violin.
This is in New Jersey.
In Jersey. They were still... This is their hobby, playing. And for 12 years, I worked in this place. And still worked in the milk business. In 1958, I retired. I felt I have enough of an income with the little pension I was going to get in the milk business to come down here to Florida. I bought an apartment. And I started looking around for nightclubs. And I was able to get work with no agent. I'd step into a nightclub and say, can I have 10 minutes? When the entertainer would take what they called his 10-minute break, I'd ask the owner if I can do 10 minutes. Sure. And that's how I'd get booking for 4 weeks and so forth and so on. I wasn't interested in money. But you always got at least $50. So, and the little pension I had, and the little money I had from selling the house, I was able to get along fine. And I enjoyed life very much.
Did you do like the hotels and Miami Beach and something?
No, I didn't get to the hotels. See, that's a different kind of an act. I was doing a dirty act in nightclubs. See. And then I met Lil. And Lil says, we don't need the money. And this is some life I have at this scale.
So you were doing nightclubs in Hollywood or in Miami? Or
Miami.
Can you give me the, do you remember the names of some of the clubs? Or?
Most of them on 79th Street in Miami Beach. Some are Tropicana, Moe's. They change names mm-hmm. very often, mm-hmm. those type of places.
And how long were you doing that? Up until 70?
Just 70s till before I met Lil.
Which was
70. See, my wife got sick, and I stopped doing it because she was in one hospital mm-hmm. or another. Maybe 3 years before I met Lil.
Which was in 19 what?
71, we got married. 73. My wife was sick from 69 to 73. She passed away. Mm-hmm. See.
Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about you? Can you pick up the microphone? Tell me, you were a silent movie pianist? Is that
I played for the movie, Silent Movies. But when we got a piano into the house, every home, the piano was very important. And my sister was the oldest. We were four kids. And I was the youngest of the girls. And
where
there were two
this?
Brothers. This was in Buffalo. No, this was New York, New York. Then we moved to Buffalo. And as soon as the piano came into the house, I don't know how it occurred, but I sat down to the piano. I was able to play a tune. I had it in my head. If I had it in my head, I could play it. And I played by ear for many years. Mm-hmm. And my sister started to take lessons because we couldn't afford to give everybody lessons. So she got the lessons, and I'd go along with her, and I'd listen in lessons. But I played popular music only. I jazzed everything. And I'd come home and I'd jazz her next week's lesson. It used to make her very angry. She didn't like it. And she refused to teach me because she thought I was, you know, wasn't very good. Anyway, I used to go down to they'd have saloons at the corners and the girls wouldn't go, but I'd have a cluster of girls with me and we'd listen to these recordings, piano recordings, and I'd go upstairs and I'd play them. And that's how I did that, I don't know. Anyway, later on, when we moved to Buffalo, I played the piano in school for the assembly. They'd roll the doors, you know, roll the doors open, and they'd have classes, you know, the assembly. And I'd play for that. And I learned to read music by myself. I taught myself.
Did any of your family, like your parents, or did you have musicians in your family?
No, I had an uncle who was very talented. He played the piano. My mother's brother, he was very talented. He used to play. He rolled his left hand back and forth, and it seemed to match every tune. You know, it was crazy, but it matched every tune. And the cousins that came from, you know, the Buffalo cousins. Anyway, I played the piano, and then I started to realize that I could make money. So I went to the 5 and 10. I was 12 years old, and I played Saturdays, and Sundays I played. Somebody recommended me for the silent movie. So I'd get $5 to play the silent movie, and I think it was about $2.50 I got at the 5 and 10. But that's how I learned. I learned all the popular songs from the 5 and 10, and I I didn't know to read music because every pianist or organist at the movies would get a synopsis of what they have to learn, and it's usually classical music or, you know, to fit into the picture. But I just watch the picture, and I seem to get calls back and to be called back to play. I did that for a while, and then later on in my life, I played for all the organizations. I played for all charitable organizations, and during the war, I played for the USO camps and all the camps. I mean, USO clubs, hospitals, and camps. I have a lot of pictures. And then I start working at, I'm trying to remember what else I did with music. Oh, then when I decided to start learning. I was married and it was no good. I lost a child. And then I started working for the government, and that's when I played at all the camps. But when I'm trying to remember what happened in between there, I'm trying to recall. Oh, I played for the movies, and then I had to quit. When I went back to New York, we came back to New York from Buffalo, and I played. I decided to take lessons. I took lessons, and because this is very funny, because the teacher didn't believe I had torn a ligament in my hand, and my mother had put on a bandage, and because I called him and told him, and he didn't believe, he thought I was supposed to perform at a concert. And I've always performed, so I had no stage fright. It wasn't stage fright. But he thought it was, that I didn't want to perform, that I didn't want to appear. And because he didn't believe me, I never went back for any more lessons. I was very insulted that he didn't believe me. Mm. Anyway, I played for everything. I played every occasion that I could get. But in the government, I quit for a while. For about 2 years, I quit. And I thought I could make money to live on by myself with the music, because I was very well known. I started playing at a school, a drama school. And then I played for dances. And then I met a square dance caller. And he started calling me, and I couldn't do anything else but play for him, because he used to put on exhibition dances, square dance with costumes, and I loved it. It was beautiful. And that's what I did in Washington, D.C. And then when I came back, I'm getting all mixed. Anyway, we came back to New York, and I played for every occasion that I could. And then I got married and married a man. The first marriage was a divorce. I lost the baby. And I went I played for different affairs, different occasions, but I'd never made a living at it. I went back to government. Mm-hmm. I went back to government. And during the war years, I worked for the government and did all those donated services. Mm-hmm. I never got paid for it all the way through. But when I met Harry, we decided to entertain together.
Yeah, tell me about what you've been doing the past, 12 years since you've been performing with Harry. Tell me about some of the places that you've performed.
Well, we've gone to convalescent homes, to hospitals.
Kitchen band, too.
I had been asked to by a very wonderful woman who was in charge of a children's school.
Retarded
and multi-handicapped in Opa-locka.
And she had a kitchen band.
She had the kitchen band, and I was the pianist for the kitchen band. But the poor thing passed away. And I decided when I had when I played at the kitchen band, it would be a good idea to have organized one at Roland.
There were 384 families, you know.
So we started with a choral group, and then when I met this woman, she encouraged me to make the group here. So we had the kitchen band here, and it really grew. It grew and grew and grew and was very good. And then we decided to go to convalescent homes, and that's when Harry and I got...
We were bringing maybe 30 people with us.
Yeah.
Dancers, the choral group, and the kitchen band.
That's right.
I didn't do anything, just introduce them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See? Because... We had them on television, and they were these women are 75 and 80 years old. They'd write to their children, they're entertainers, and I was pushing them. See, now that we work alone,
we're just alone.
See,
because we can't get the transport. The people are getting older, and they can't see to drive.
It was very entertaining to have the kitchen band because it's a novelty.
Well, the only music actually in the band was
piano.
The piano. Everything else was. That's right.
Washboard.
Washboards, a wash tub.
A wash tub with the drum.
Yeah, and...
maybe I have some records on that.
Thank you. the condominiums and other places that you performed or not?
Yeah, because in the condos, they all have different organizations and they rent the house. So, and we always bring them around to those organizations, many charity organizations.
How many?
We have as high as 30 people.
And how many convalescent homes or how many engagements now do you
do? We do right now sometimes 3 convalescent homes a week. Well, we mix it in with the. The convalescent homes with retirement homes. We try to do 2 or 3 weeks. So, churches too. Every organization.
Churches, does that include temples and synagogues or not?
We haven't done, we've done a couple of synagogues in North Miami Beach. Yeah. So, not for the synagogue, but for an organization
right.
That rents the synagogue. Churches in Hollywood.
So, those are also organizations too.
They're organizations in the church. It's for the church. This right now is for the church in Hollywood.
So it's mostly here in Hollywood and in North Dade County, is this?
Within 20 miles, actually. Within 20 miles. Now that they're expanding, they're calling us up. So we made up our mind. Let them pay $10 for gas again.
In every vaudeville show I was in, we had acrobats, dancers, elocutionists, and I used to learn from them. We had at one time Howison, the Canadian billiard champion, used to have a billiard table on a stage and mirrors so people could see what he's doing. And after the show, he used to teach me how to play billiards. I became quite efficient as a billiard player. But I learned how to dance from some of those people. I learned magic from some people. And everything that I learned, I try to get better and better and better. And this is my whole life. Learning. And in my later years, learning how to love. It's very important. My wife is my best friend.
Did your acts include then magic and dancing later
No. Some of the homes that I do little tricks, uh-huh. See. But we try to keep away from that. I'll show you something very interesting so you can...